إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد I welcome all of you to this class in which we're going to, insha'Allah ta'ala, read to you a concise and a brief illustration of Hajj without getting into details. Because alhamdulillah, for the past 3 weeks, we've been talking about the Hajj in details from the book of our noble Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, Al-Allama Al-Muhaddith Abdul Muhsin Al-Badr Hafidhahullah. And we mentioned that tonight we will bring you a brief illustration of the Hajj in accordance to the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I'm going to be reading from the book Fiqh Al-Ibadat of our noble Shaykh Al-Allama, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And once again, I do apologize for those who were waiting for the Arabic text, because it's going to take us a longer time. But however, I just mentioned the book and the reference. You can get the book, maybe you can download it, upload it, and insha'Allah ta'ala you can read in Arabic, but in this class we're just going to give an English translation. So the Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, says the best thing for the Muslim to do when he wants to make Hajj is to make Hajj tamattu, to be mutamattih, meaning that in the months of Hajj person will go and perform Umrah first, finish it, then on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah he will engage in a state of Ihram with Hajj. So when the Muslim who's going to make the Hajj, and this is about Hajj al-Tamattu inshaAllah, that Muslim, when he or she reach the miqat, it is recommended for them to, prior to engaging in a state of ihram and saying labbaik allahumma umrah or labbaik allahumma hajj, to take a bath. And of course they do certain things that we mentioned in the details, trimming their nails and the like. And then they engage in a state of ihram. Keep in mind here now that since we're giving this class here from America, the people who go to Hajj from America, they will only go two directions. Whether they go straight to Mecca, or whether they go to Medina first, spend some time, then go to Mecca. So let's start with those who go to Medina first. If you're going with a group, they're going to go to Medina first. Whether you're traveling Saudi airline, Egypt, Jordanian, Turkish, whatever the case is, then if you're going to Medina first, you don't have to worry about ihram in the plane. Even if the plane pass the miqat, because it's going to pass the miqat and land in Jeddah, the ulama, they said it's okay for you because you're not going to Mecca first, you're going to Medina. When you put your ihram on, and when you engage in the state of ihram, once you leave the Medina, from the miqat of the people of Medina, and whoever is in Medina, that is called Dhul Hulayfa. That's very important. Now, as for those who they know, their group told them, look, we're going straight to Mecca. Whether they go to Mecca and spend a couple of days and then take them to Medina, then go back to Mecca, yes, it happened that way. It's a little bit, a lot of moving. Yes, some groups do it like that. They take you to Mecca first for 4 days, in Dhul Qa'dah. Then they go to Medina for 4 or 5 days. Then bring you back to Mecca for Hajj. The advantage of this one is like when you come back from Medina, second time you can make another Umrah, alhamdulillah. That's the advantage of this one. See? So now you'll be making 2 Umrahs in 1 trip, Al-Hajj. See, that's the advantage of that one. So now, but if someone is going straight to Mecca, now these people, they have to keep in mind that they have to engage in state of Ihram, okay, before the plane lands in Jeddah. Because Jeddah is not the miqat for the people who come on the plane. Jeddah is the miqat of the people of Jeddah. That's their miqat. The plane is going to pass the miqat, which is called Al-Juhfa, which means what? That those people who are going straight to Mecca, they should have the men, of course, because the women, their normal clothing are clothing of Ihram. But the men, they have to have their clothing of Ihram with them on board, not in the belly of the plane. You gotta take them with you in your carry-on. And then you have to wear it in the plane, inshallah ta'ala. And you will engage in a state of Ihram before you get to Jeddah. Naam. So once you engage in a state of Ihram, you begin the talbiyah. لبيك اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. And you raise your voice with it, the man, not the woman. And of course you can remember Allah. If you get tired, you take a break. But mainly, don't make the mistake. Some people don't make talbiyah period, or they say it only once or twice and that's it. Nah. But that's the main thing you say, along with reading the Quran, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the like. So when you get to Al-Haram, of course, you're going as a group. They're going to take you to the hotel first. And before the hotel, you're going to go to this office and all of these things. So be patient. Don't be involved where the boss is doing, why we're here. Remember Allah. They're doing the stuff. That's paperwork. It has to be done. So they're not going to take you right from the airport of Jeddah straight to Tawaf. Now you're going to go to certain places, then they're going to take you to the hotel you're staying or the place you're staying, and then you put your belongings, then you go to make Tawaf, make the Umrah. Anyway, you get to the Bayt Allah al-Haram, you do the Umrah as explained in details. The men in this first tawaf, they do ittiba'. What is ittiba'? They expose their right shoulder. The whole tawaf. Not just 3 rounds. The whole tawaf. Once they finish the whole tawaf, before they pray, they cover their shoulders, and that's the last time they will expose any shoulders of their body. Okay? The women, they don't expose anything. That's another thing for men. In the same tawaf, the first one when they just arrived to Al-Masjid Al-Haram, it is sunnah for the man as well to make the ramal in the 3 first rounds of the 7 rounds. Meaning to walk fast, steps close to each other. Almost like you're running, but you are not. But you're going faster. And that's only if you have a room in front of you. If it's crowded, you do not do it because you don't want to push the people. And of course, the tawaf starts with the Hajar al-Aswad. It doesn't start from any other place. Always get a start from Hajar al-Aswad and ends into the Hajar al-Aswad. That's 1 round. It is sunnah to hold the Hajar al-Aswad with the right hand, not the left, and to kiss it if you can. But if the only way you can get to the Hajar al-Aswad by fighting, pushing, sometimes you be pushing women and pushing you, now you stay away. You don't do that. You stay far away. Alhamdulillah. Okay? Because you don't want to commit haram to practice sunnah. Okay? If you cannot get to the Hajar al-Aswad, you point to it with your hand and say, Bismillah, Wallahu Akbar, and don't kiss your hand. And you go around. What do you say? Any dua you want. You want to read Quran. You want to remember Allah. Ask Allah for forgiveness. say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, akbar, make a lot of dua. One thing, remember, there is no specific dua for each round, as some laymen, they think, and they've been reading some books. That's one thing. The second thing, it is not from the sunnah to do the dua in a group, nor that you raise your voice with it. So you have to have khushu', tranquility and peace. So you go around, but now when you get to al-Rukn al-Yamani, this is the corner right before the Hajar al-Aswad. It is from the sunnah to touch it and hold it with your right hand, not kissing it and not kissing your hand. Of course, the same rule applies. If it's crowded and you cannot get to it except by you getting harmed or harming others or pushing people, leave it alone. Pass it. From that, from the Rukn al-Yamani, the Yamani corner, and Hajar al-Aswad between them, it is sunnah to say this ayah, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. You have to be on tahara for this. That's why the women, if someone have a woman with him, with his mother, grandmother, wife, daughter, stepdaughter, this, that, niece, okay? If they are on their menses, at the miqat, they do the same thing. They say, لَبَّيْكَ اللَّهُمَّ عُمْرَى. And they engage in state of ihram, but they do not make tawaf. They stay in the hotel or wherever you are staying. If their menses come to an end before the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, naam, they take a shower and they go make umrah. But if the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, the morning of the 8th of Dhul Hijjah comes in, they still on their menses, they just go straight to the hajj with the people. Okay? And the woman in her menses do not make tawaf. And the person beyond tahara, beyond purification. Naam. So you start from Hajar al-Aswad, go back to it, that's one. You do that 7 times. You don't harm anybody, you don't push anybody, work with tranquility and peace. If you have doubt whether it is, what round it is, for instance, is this the 6th or the 5th? Make it the lesser number. Make it the 5th and keep going, inshallah ta'ala. You finish the tawaf, you pray 2 rakat. The sunnah is that you pray behind the station of Ibrahim. But these days it's very crowded. You leave it alone. You go to a place, any place in the masjid, and you pray 2 rakat. You can drink some zamzam if it's available. And then you go to make sa'i between Safa and Marwa. You start with the Safa. And it is sunnah, once you be at the Safa, to make to say the ayah, Inna Safa wal Marwata min sha'airillah. Some people of knowledge, they says, you stop here. Others, they says, you can finish the whole ayah. Inna Safa wal Marwata min sha'airillah. فَمَنْ حَجَّ الْبَيْتَ أَوْ اَعْتَمَرَ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَتَّوَّفَ بِهِمَا. نعم. And then you say, أَبْدَأُ بِمَا بَدَأَ اللَّهُ بِهِ. I began with that which Allah mentioned first in the ayah, meaning Safa. Of course, it is from the sunnah to do these things. If somebody didn't do it, لا بأس. Like in person should learn to do, so make a complete hajj according to the sunnah. You face the qibla, you make that dhikr, and you make dua, you make the other dhikr that we have learned, and you make dua again for the second time, and you make the dhikr we have learned in the classes for the 3rd time, and then you keep going to Al-Marwa. You walk peacefully. Don't harm anybody. What do you do? The same thing we says about tawaf. There is no specific dua. You say what you want. Make a lot of dua. Ask Allah the good of this life and the hereafter. Keep in mind, as you go on from Safa, you're going to see on your right on the wall a green light. Not like the green light here, traffic light. It's like a light that is long. Now, alhamdulillah, they have the whole thing, because it used to be one green light, maybe like another 100 feet or so, another green light. Now they put the whole, that distance, all of it is green. And you can't miss it. What does it mean? It means that, because the Prophet ﷺ, when he get at that point, he run as fast as he can. He run, really. literally, fast, until you get to the other green mark. But only this is sunnah. If a person can do it, if a person have condition, doesn't hurt himself. And also, if a person able to do it, but it is crowded, doesn't push like some ignorant people, really pushing people, hurting people. La, we don't do that. You walk. Until you get to the end of that green light, okay, then you walk to the Marwa. When you make it to the Marwa, that's one round. It is not like some laymen, they think, going from Safa to Marwa is one round, and going back to Safa is one round. No. Going from Safa to Marwa is one. You do the same thing as you did in Safa, without saying the ayah. You make the dhikr, you face the Qibla, make the dhikr, and raise your hand, make dua. Make the dhikr again, second time, then make the dua for the second time, make dhikr the third time, and you leave for Safa. You did the same thing at Safa, same thing on Marwa. So you start in Safa, you end in Marwa. Now the Umrah is over, the only thing is left is to take care of your head. It is preferable for men and better for men to shave their head. But it's permissible to trim the entire head, not just take a little bit here and a little bit there. The women, they don't shave and they don't trim. All what they do, they take the little bit from the tip of their, the bottom of their, if they have a braid, the equal of a tip of a finger. They don't do it in there in front of men. It's not permissible for her to show her like some laymen and ignorant women do. They take their khimar, cut me, and everybody looking at them. No, they go to the hotel where they stay in and they can do it. Okay? If you do this, you finish the Umrah. So you can come out of Ihram and everything become permissible for you. That it was made haram when you engage in the state of Ihram. When you say, Labbaik Allahumma Umrah, there is certain things that we mention in the classes that become forbidden for you to do. Now, once you shave and finished, everything become permissible for you, alhamdulillah. What do you do now? Maybe you have a week or two before the Hajj, before the 8th of the Hijjah. You remember Allah. Remember you are on a journey of ibadah. Okay? You remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make sure you pray as much as you can in the haram, especially if you're close to it. Insha'Allah ta'ala. Don't harm people. Be nice, be kind, be patient, be cheerful. Okay, on the 8th of the Hijjah, the morning, all the pilgrims, they engage in a state of ihram again. That morning, you take a shower again, take care of yourself, and then put the state of the clothing of ihram for the men, and then you say, Labbaik Allahumma Hajjan, or Labbaik Hajjan. The buses are going to take you to Mina. You arrive in Mina, let's say in the morning, then you're going to stay there until the morning. Meaning you're going to pray Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha and Fajr in Mina. Every Salat in its time, there is no combining in Mina. This is a rule. As long as you're in Mina, no combining, but shortening the prayers. You pray only two. Even the people of Mecca, they pray two. Because that's the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There is nothing special to do in this day or this night. Remembrance of Allah. Prepare, review. If you have the book, CD, you're listening, you review what you're going to do tomorrow and next day in this so that you can practice. Alhamdulillah, so that you perform the Hajj in accordance to the Sunnah upon knowledge. So the next day is the night of the Hijjah. As groups, you're going to be going heading towards Arafat. Talbiyah, remember, you continue to, whenever you're in a state of ihram, talbiyah. And you can make takbir, you can ask Allah for forgiveness, but you can make a lot of talbiyah, ikhwan. Me, don't remember this, don't forget this. As you go into Arafat, they're going to take you to Arafat. Alhamdulillah, those buses, they're going to put you inside the Arafat. But make sure you're in Arafat. For some reason they put you outside of Arafat? No, you gotta get inside. Especially, alhamdulillah, the government now, they have signposts. They tell you where Arafat starts, alhamdulillah. If you get there in the morning, mashallah, take it easy, relax, remember Allah, read Quran. Dhuhr time comes in, one adhan is called. Then as a group, you're going to pray Dhuhr and Asr together at the time of Dhuhr. One adhan, two iqamas. You combine, but you shorten. Two for Dhuhr, two for Asr. And from that moment, dua, until sunset. What do you say? SubhanAllah. You say, once again, there is not a specific dua, but it's better to learn the ad'iyah. There is many du'as in the Quran and du'as in the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. But just we share with you one dua that we learned that the Prophet ﷺ says, the best dua is the dua of the day of Arafah. And the best thing I said and the prophets before me, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. You say this a lot. But then you make dua for your family, for the people, for the oppressed people, for the orphans, for the needy, for this, for that. Inshallah ta'ala. You ask Allah the good of this life and the good of the hereafter. Of course, by doing this, you're facing the Qibla. Some ignorant people, they face the little mountain. That they call it Jabal al-Rahma. Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen, he says, there is no dalil that is called Jabal al-Rahma. He says, no, you face the Qibla for dua. This is the rule. Some people, they say, well, the Prophet ﷺ, he was facing the mountain. No, the Prophet ﷺ was not facing the mountain. The Prophet ﷺ was facing the Qibla, but the mountain was in his face. You see what I mean? They thought that the Prophet ﷺ was facing the mountain. No. The Prophet ﷺ was facing the Qibla. It happened that the mountain was between him and the Qibla. So if a person is behind the mountain and he's facing the Qibla, okay, and it just happened that the mountain in front of him. Now the problem, you find some people, they are ahead of the mountain towards the Qibla, which is the Kaaba now. And then they turn towards the mountain and give their back to what? To the Qibla, to the Kaaba. This is not permissible. Okay? Likewise, there is no benefit to look for the mountain and find it or to... No, there is none of that. And if the Shaykh says, if a person believes that they have to go to the mountain and climb because the mountain has something special, that's a bid'ah, innovation. That mountain has nothing special. It's like the other mountains around it and the hills. Okay? So the Shaykh says, take it easy on yourself, wherever you want. Remember Allah and make a lot of dua. Whoever make it to Arafat in daytime, it's obligatory upon them to stay there until sunset. Sunset comes in, you do not pray Maghrib. Because the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that Maghrib is to be prayed in Muzdalifah. You pack your stuff, you wait, the buses will come, they will tell you, let's go to Muzdalifah. You're making talbiyah, you're remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't get involved in fighting, because people, they do that, unfortunately. Start fighting and saying bad words, wal'iyadu billah, to each other, because this is your bus, how, why you go, why you don't go, Allah musta'an, don't get involved with that stuff. Remember Allah, talbiyah. Once you get to Muzdalifah, the first thing you do is that you pray Maghrib and Isha together. As soon as you get there, the Adhan is called. Once again, the Iqama for Maghrib, 3 rak'ats. Then the Iqama is called for Isha, 2 rak'ats. And what you do at that moment? Lay down. There is no special ibadah in this night. Because the Prophet ﷺ didn't do nothing. The Sahaba, they didn't report to us anything that the Prophet ﷺ, they didn't see the Prophet ﷺ spending the night reading the Quran or praying. No. Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen, and from him, from the ulama of Islam, they says, there is nothing special, no special ibadah on Muzdalifah. You pray Maghrib and Isha, lay down. The only thing that you can do is witr. And because witr, you pray it in every single night of the year. You pray witr and you go to sleep. Or if somebody, they wake up before Fajr, they can delay it, inshaAllah ta'ala, until they pray it then. You don't busy yourself collecting the pebbles as a lot of laymen do. Don't do that. Lay down. Now you stay there until Fajr. Fajr comes in, you get up, you pray. Make sure, the Shaykh says, make sure you pray in the time of Fajr. Some people, they, subhanAllah, because there's a lot of people around you, and you don't pray like, oh, 10,000 people. No, everybody group, 50 group pray by themselves, 100 here, 25 over here, 300 groups, they pray by themselves. Sometimes the people, they be calling the Adhan 1 hour before time. It takes one person to start calling the Adhan. Allahu Akbar, everybody will call. Nah, you got to make sure you pray in the time of the Salat. Don't worry what the people do. If they are close to you, tell them, Ya Akhwan, nicely, it's not time for Salat yet. If they listen, Alhamdulillah, they don't listen, what you going to do? You did what you had to do. You advise them. Some people do listen, other people don't listen. It's not up to you, Alhamdulillah. Some people, they say, Jazakallah khairan. Ah, SubhanAllah, we didn't pay attention. Some people, they say, yeah, you're another madhab. What this has to do with the madhab? It's the time of the Salat. We have to pray in the time. Okay? Now, once you pray Fajr, what do you do? You face the Qibla once again and make a long dua. Not just talk to your friend, now make a long dua. This is a journey of ibadah. Okay? You're not going there for exploring. You're not going to explore the area. Now you're going for ibadah, for worship. So dua once again. Until it becomes clear, very light, and before sunrise, you leave Muzdalifah towards Mina. Back to Mina. One detail. The Prophet ﷺ, he spent the night over there with his families. However, he gave permission to the weak amongst the women and children and people with conditions. Prophet ﷺ allowed them to leave early, before Fajr. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says the Prophet ﷺ didn't decide what time they leave, but we got that from the action of a companion. Asma bint Abi Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhuma. She was looking at them at the moon. Once the moon faded and went away, you cannot see it, she left. And that will happen after the half of the night. It will happen in the second half of the night. Okay? Then these people who have condition, they leave. And as soon as they get to Jamrat al-Aqaba, they have the right to throw Jamrat al-Aqaba. They don't have to wait until sunrise. The ulama, he says, if they have to go there and wait until sunrise, so what is the benefit of them going ahead of the people? See? He said, no. Since the Prophet has given permission to leave, they have the permissibility to throw Jamrat al-Aqaba, even at night, and that's what Asma did exactly, if you remember in details. Asma, she threw Jamrat al-Aqaba, went back to her place in Mina, and prayed Fajr in there. You see? Alhamdulillah. But those people who wait there in Muzdalifah until pray Fajr and make dua and left, then they go to, this is now the 10th day of the Hijjah now. Dhul Hijjah 10, the day of Nahr, the day of the Eid. This is a great day. Now there is four things you're going to do this day. Jamrat al-Aqaba, alone. The other two Jamarat, they are not done in this day. And then the slaughter of the Hadi and the shaving of the head or the shortening and Tawaf al-Ifada and Sa'i. Four things, four major things you're going to do. And you got to do each and every one of them. Preferably in this order. Jamrat al-Aqaba, slaughtering, shaving, tawaf al-ifada. But the Prophet ﷺ, he did it this way. Try your best to do it in this order. Once again, Jamrat al-Aqaba, the shaving of the head, or the shortening, and now the slaughter first, then the shaving of the head, then tawaf al-ifada, barakallahu fikum. With sa'i, comes with it. So now if person makes it, alhamdulillah, it's okay, no problem. We mentioned to you a detail from our noble scholars that for the sa'i, for the hadi, it's permissible to, once you arrive to Saudi, to go to Mu'assasat al-Rajhi, and you give them the equivalent of the hadi, and they will do it on your behalf, alhamdulillah. And so you don't have to worry about it on that day. So you go to Jamrat al-Aqaba, you should already have 7 pebbles. Those 7 pebbles, doesn't matter where you collect them from. Unlike some ignorant people, they believe that they have to be picked up from Muzdalifah. No. Collect them from Muzdalifah, from Mina, from any place. 7 pebbles, when you get to the Jamrat al-Aqaba, once again, you don't push people, you don't shove. Alhamdulillah, now they have like 4 or 5 stories, levels. And they have, what do they call them?
Escalators,
alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, Jazakum Allah khair. It's not like before, people fighting each other, running to each other. No, alhamdulillah, there's a lot of space. Unless if somebody really, on purpose, wants to push somebody else. So with every pebble, you say Allahu Akbar when you throw it. Make sure it fails inside. And with tranquility and peace, because you're doing an act of worship, ibadah. Don't be mad like some people. They're very mad because they hurt in the shaitan. Now this is an act of worship. You throw it peacefully and you say Allahu Akbar. Preferably that when you're facing the Jamara, that Mina be on your right and Mecca be on your left. Okay? Preferably. But if you are in the other side, it's okay, inshallah. And you keep going. Just make no dua after Jamrat al-Aqaba. As soon as you throw the Jamara, no more talbiyah. Talbiyah ends in this. You go shave or shorten, and the woman take a little bit from her hair, as we mentioned, the tip of the finger. At that moment, everything becomes permissible for you that was not permissible for you when you engage in the state of ihram, except your wife, meaning intercourse with the wife. That will happen when you do tawaf al-ifada and sa'i. So once you throw Jamrat al-Aqaba and you shave, because the slaughtering is already done on your behalf, if you choose to do it that way, then you can come out of your clothing, not there at Jamrat al-Aqaba, of course, at the hotel, and you take a shower, put some perfume, alhamdulillah, okay, and put your regular clothing. And then what you do now? You go to Mecca to make tawaf. This is called tawaf al-ifada, tawaf al-hajj. The same way you did it in Umrah. Except that in this one, there is no ramal, you don't run in the street. And there is no ittiba'. Remember, we said that's only in the first one. So you do the same thing, the same way you made the tawaf in the Umrah and the sa'i in the Umrah. The only thing you don't do when you finish the sa'i, what is that? Who's with me? What you're not going to do now once you finish sa'i, what you're not going to do? You're not going to shave your head. Why? Because you already did it after Jamrat al-Aqaba. You see? Now if you do that, immediately you go back to Mina. You go back because that's what the Prophet ﷺ did. You go back to Mina. You spend the night over there. Remember, you shorten the prayers, but you don't combine. And every group, they pray together. Unless if your camp is close to one of the masajid, there is some masajid in there. If your camp is so close to, yes, inshallah, there is no hardship on you. You pray in the masjid. But if the masjid is too far from you, and you may get lost looking for it, and all the tents look the same, by the way, and if you've never been there, those who've been there a couple times, like 5, 6, 7 times, they start knowing where they're going. But even if you go the first, second, third time, still, man, it looks like the same. So especially, don't get lost. So every group, they pray in their place. So when you go back, ya akhwan, to Mina, what is left for you is, of course, while you're staying in Mina, you're remembering Allah, reading the Quran, alhamdulillah, staying away from the dunya. Don't talk about the dunya. Talk about the akhirah. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much, read Quran, help others, spend your money. You have elderly people with condition in your group, help them, assist them. This is how you're going to get Hajj Mabrur. It's not the package because you pay $15,000, come with the ticket, says Mabrur. No, then maybe they give it to you and put it on your luggage. But no, this is the thing that will make you practice it for, you perform Hajj for Allah sincerely, according to the Sunnah, and you have to have the good akhlaq of the Muslim, being patient, don't harm people. Even if they harm you, be patient. You spend your money if you have it, feed the people, give gifts. Na'am, especially the poor and the needy, and you assist and help the people with conditions. You help this person working, you give this person some water, make sure the elderly, they eat first before you, they get on a bus, they get a place to sit, make sure you help them with their luggage, smile in their face, hayyakallah abi, kayfa halak, tayyib, anything can I do for you? This is, and you don't bother the people when you come to the tent or any room, people are sleeping, you don't come and say, man, I paid me too, I'm paying him too, and you start talking loud, laugh. Have the akhlaq of the Muslimin and the believers and the mu'mineen. This is how you're going to get extra reward, inshaAllah ta'ala. So now the 11th day of the Hijjah, at Dhuhr time, not before. Now you're going to come and you're going to have 21 pebbles. 3 times 7. Because now you're going to do the 3 jamarats. At Dhuhr, this one here starts at Dhuhr. But you have until Fajr next day, the ulama, they says. So when you come to the first jamara, you face it and you throw 7. Make takbir with each one of them. As you go in towards the middle one, as you go in towards the middle one, you stop in halfway, not in the way of the people, and you face the Qibla. There is signs that tell you where the Qibla is. And you raise your hand and make a long dua, as long as you can. Don't be rushed. Some people, they just want to at least finish it. So how do you finish it? You're not there to compete in who's going to finish it first. Now you want to do the ibadah. By the way, why are you making dua if you are in the way of the people and the soldiers or security come and said, can you move? Move with a smile face. Don't sit there and say, why you want me to move? You're racist, like we hear some people say. No, ya akhi. If they see you, you're in the way of the people, and you're holding the people, they tell you to move. Usually, they don't tell you, go back home. They just tell you, get out of here. So just move a little bit, and mashallah. And they will leave you alone. So, but be happy, and be nice, and be kind. Be gentle, be lenient. Once you finish the dua, you go to the second jamra, 7 pebbles. Allahu Akbar with each one of them. Tayyib, and as you go into the third one, which is Jamrat al-Aqaba that you did yesterday, in the day of the Eid, likewise in halfway, or just once you pass it a little bit, you face the Qibla and make a dua. And then you finish the dua, you go to Jamrat al-Aqaba, the last one, 7 pebbles, Allahu Akbar, with each one of them. Make sure you throw each one at a time. If a person make all of them one throw, that count only as one. Still have to go and find 6 others. So you do one at a time. And then at that time, what you do? No dua after Jamrat al-Aqaba. What do? You go back to Mina. You go back to Mina because this is what the Prophet ﷺ did. Go back to your tents, you sit there, alhamdulillah, remember Allah, be nice to the people around you. If you're students of knowledge, you know something, you share with your brothers, you help them, some questions, you commend good, you forbid evil, but with good manners. Don't yell, don't get into any situation with anybody. Be patient. This is Hajj. You spend that night over there, the 12th day of the Hijjah, you do the same thing at Dhuhr, not at before Dhuhr, not morning. You do the same thing you did yesterday. Now, it is permissible for you to leave after doing the Jamarat on the 12th day. But you have to leave before Maghrib. If Maghrib comes and you're still there, now you have to stay until the 13th day and do the Jamarat. Except the ulama, they said, for a person who already is leaving, but he just like maybe in a crowded, he's stuck in a traffic or something, that person continued moving and that this rule doesn't apply on him. So those who leave, what they do? That's it, they finish Hajj. The only thing that is left for them is Tawaf al-Wada'. Those who choose to stay for the 13th day and spend an extra night, that's better for them, because that's what the Prophet ﷺ did. Except for someone who, for example, they need medical conditions and they cannot stay and they have to go back to the hotel, or somebody who their flight is the next night, so they cannot stay there because they have to leave early, they can leave. But everybody should stay until the 12th day. No, okay? Tayyib. Those who stay for the 13th day, they do the same thing, the three jamarats from Dhuhr, but they have until Maghrib only, not until next Fajr. The last day is until Maghrib. The ulama, he says, from Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, as I'm reading to you from his book, Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen says, if a person did not do the jamarat on the 13th day until after Maghrib, he has to slaughter an animal to be given to the people of Mecca as an expiation for that. Because this person, he throw the jamarat after the time has expired. So try your best to do it between Dhuhr and Maghrib in the last day. And then the people, they go to wherever they are. They are in a hotel next to the Haram, they are in Aziziyah, they are in wherever they are staying, they stay there. MashaAllah. If some people, they have a week or two, they just remember Allah, they make salat in the Haram, they attend the classes of the ulama, if there is any classes, and they remember Allah, charity once again, be nice, be kind, feed the people, be generous. This is how you get extra. Be kind, be patient, have good manners of Islam. But if some people, as soon as they finish, they have to leave, in both cases, people should make Tawaf al-Wada'. This is an obligation from the wajibat of Hajj, in Hajj, but is recommended in Umrah, as the ulama, they mentioned. But here, it is obligatory for the pilgrims, before they leave back home, before they leave Mecca, to do Tawaf al-Wada'. No sa'i, just Tawaf, and they pray two rak'ahs. And this Tawaf has to be the last one, the last thing they do. If someone has to stay 3 days or 4 days, they don't make Tawaf al-Wada' and spend 3 days in there. No. That's the last thing they do. For example, if the group says, look, the bus is coming at 9 a.m. Alright? So we want everybody to have his luggage by Fajr. If you want to go to the Haram, pray Fajr, we want your luggage before that time on the lobby. Okay? And we want nobody to be late. Actually, we want everybody here by 7 a.m. so that we can do the count and put the people in a bus. What do you do now? When you go for Fajr that day, you make Tawaf and come straight. But if they tell you, look, we're leaving right after Salat al-Fajr, which means you gotta make Tawaf before that. Okay? So, you don't want to like keep the people waiting for you and this. No, it's not good. You make Tawaf al-Wada, you finish Hajj. The Hajj is finished, alhamdulillah. One thing. The ulama, they says, however, for people who have conditions, elderly, sick people, and also the women on their menses and the postnatal bleeding, they do not make Tawaf al-Ifada. They do not make Tawaf for the women on their menses. They do not make Tawaf al-Ifada and Hajj. They wait. They do everything. Jamrat al-Aqaba, the 3 days or 2 days. The only thing they don't do is Tawaf. When they do it, they delay until, mashallah, their menses come to an end. Except in one condition. The ulama, they mention, let's say this woman, her menses is still on, and they leave in tomorrow, and her cycle just started. What she do? Can she go home without making tawaf al-ibadah? Or can she just like tell them, go, I'm going to stay here until I'm pure? Now the ulama, they says, if she has to go back home, now she, under these circumstances, this woman, she has to protect herself extra and go to the tawaf. And she don't do no tawaf al-wada'. If a woman, she already did tawaf al-ifadah, and after that, during the 11th, 12th, 13th, she has her menses, and now what's left for her to do? Tawaf al-wada'. But she has to leave and she's still in her menses, what she do? She's exempt. The mensing woman, they are exempt from tawaf al-wada'. If that's the only one they have to do, they are exempt. Like it happened to Safiya, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now I go back to the people with conditions. Elderly, people are sick, people have trouble to come to the crowd and make tawaf, tawaf al-ifada on that day, they can delay it until before they leave. And the ulama, they says, and they will do only one tawaf, which is tawaf al-hajj and sahi, and include in it is tawaf al-wada. Why? Because this is the last thing they did before they leave. Okay? And of course, we said we're not going to bring all the details, because the details are in the classes that we have, like maybe 15 or 16 of them. You can find them, inshallah. They will be uploaded soon, inshallah, on the blog followthesalaf.com. Followthesalaf.com. But this one, inshallah, will be uploaded soon too, inshallah ta'ala. Followthesalaf.com. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect the Muslims in this blessed journey. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help those who are making hajj and assist them to perform it in accordance to the way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect them in their wealth and in their families that they have left behind them. May Allah accept their efforts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring them safe back to their loved ones. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا